some things are only for you if you are an heir to the kingdom. And here was the revelation after he said that. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Now, when you have a seed and you plant it, well, first of all, to get the seed to grow, what do you have to do? I've given it away. You got to plant it. Now, seeds will last a long time. You can have seeds on the shelf for years. And that's what a lot of us do with the word of God. We have the seed. We have the word of God. But to have any effect, what do we have to do? You got to plant it. You got to plant it. And then there's more you have to do to have a result. You can't just plant it. You know, my wife has, you know, we live in an apartment for now where we're camping like Abraham. We're camping like Abraham, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Well, not quite, but we are camping. So she wanted to plant a garden, but we only have a little balcony. So she got some tomato seeds and got this huge bucket. Now, here's one of the things. You look at the seed and you look at the bucket, and that tells you something right away. If you're not expecting the seed to grow, you won't get a big bucket. You understand what I'm saying? You have to get a big bucket. So when I saw the buckets she got, I thought, well, you know what? How are we going to move this? Because they're big buckets. And if you want the seed to grow into a big plant, you have to have faith to get a big bucket. So anyway, she's got a big bucket. And yesterday she had to call me because her tomato plants had grown so much that they were, you know, falling over. And she said, help, help, bring a stick. We need to tie off all these things. So for your seed, the word of God, to grow, the first thing you have to do is plant it. But not just plant it. There's other things you have to do to get the result. What do you have to do? Anyone got a green thumb? You have to water it. So when God tells us that the seed, the word of God, is like a seed, that's giving us a clue to some elements and some things to get a result. To get a result. Okay, so let's proceed on that. Romans 10:8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's near us. It's like us all having the seed, but not doing anything with it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, we believe, and Sister Melissa gave the testimony, she's found this out, that you have to start speaking, actually speaking. It may look ridiculous, it may look silly to actually speak to your problem, but that is what Jesus said. And we see that everything that God did, it was through the power of word. God said, let there be. In 10 times in the book of Genesis, God spoke creatively. And I've told you before, when God says, let there be, there's only one answer. And it was so. And we see that God employs the speaking to reveal dominion. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. There again is that hint and that linkage with seed and the word of God. That's giving us a clue here as to how you can get your prayers answered more effectively. Your prayers answered more effectively if you understand that the word of God is a seed and what you have to do to get the seed to grow. Amen. And so there are three elements to that. And we covered them just now. Of course, the word of God is the seed. But there's another element that you need. You can't usually make the seed grow in air. What do you have to do? And what do you plant it in? Soil. Right. So the other element is the ground or the soil. And the third element is the water. So when God says his word is a seed, that means that there's two other elements that need to be there for something to happen. Are you following me? There's two other things that need to be there for you to get something produced from that seed. You're going to need the ground, and you're going to need the water. And if you don't have those other two things, it's just like still having the seed, but not doing anything with it. You know, as I've said many times, when we pray the wrong way. We ask God to heal someone. And maybe that's, I won't say the wrong way, but truly, He's already given us dominion. The right way to pray is say, be healed. If you believe, right? That's the right way to pray, is be healed. When He gave His disciples authority and He sent them out, they didn't call back to Jesus, come here, I need you to heal them. No, He gave them authority. So then they just said, be healed, be saved, be recovered, get up. But what we do is we start praying and say, and I do this, we all do this. Lord, please heal this person. Yes, we know that the power is coming from God, but He has given us delegated power. And so God is looking at us and going, why are you asking me? Do you believe? On the day of, a few days after the day of Pentecost, when they were going up to the temple and they found a man that was lame, he was looking for a handout. He was a panhandler. He needed help. And they said, well, we don't have any money. But such as we have, give out in the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk. So there are ways that we can operate that enhance faith. And there's ways that we are actually not exactly doing what God told us to do. If he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so a lot of times we need to change the way we pray for people. We need to say, I take authority. I'm a son of God. I have dominion. That's what Jesus said. Just so you know that the Son of Man hath authority, not only to forgive sins, but to heal. If you have the Spirit of the living God, you have the right to lay hands on someone and say, be healed. And I've been trying to change the way I pray to reflect that. Instead of saying, Lord, please heal them, and begging God, I need to take authority. I need to take the seed and plant it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The seed is there. We have the Word of God. But then to actually get something to happen, you have to plant it. So let's start looking at that. The seed is the Word. Luke 8:4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And I'm not going to go through the whole parable, because you know it. Some fell on rocks, some fell on different ground. And you know, lately, probably for the last few months, I've been saying, you need to clear the ground. Have you heard me say that? Because I'm telling you something of a revelation here. For you to take the seed and to benefit from coming here today, you need to clear the ground. Because if the seed that is coming, it could be good seed. All of the seed, all of the Word of God is good seed. But if you don't have the right kind of ground, nothing is going to happen. In the parable, he said some was trodden down, it didn't get implanted, and so the birds came and did what? Stole it. Right now, the devil would like you to leave here today, and whatever you've heard today, just come and steal it from you. So I'm going to skip that part of the parable. I want to go back to what he said, because he told them in a parable, because not everybody was supposed to understand, and that seems a shock. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. That sounds so harsh. But God has a reason for the mystery. But now he explains it. And the revelation of everything he was trying to tell them is, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Now the Word of God comes in many forms. And I taught this some time ago, probably about 3 years ago. There's the spoken word, which in the Greek is called a rhema. And that's just an utterance, spoken word. There's the complete thought or sentence, which is called in the Greek the logos. And then there was the noun, when we speak about a word in a noun, that's anoma. That's where they get words, the word in English which references to words that sound the same, onomatopoeia. You ever heard of that? That's where it comes from, the Greek word onoma. And then there's the written word, graphe. That's where we get graphics from, the written word, which is scripture. So the word can come in many forms, but it's still all the word. And of course, the planted word, which to me is the most powerful of all, because all of the other ones are just seed until they get planted. And I said that were three elements, right? Three elements. So let's look at some of the elements of the word and the written word, which is, of course, scripture. John 7:38. And here is the difference between all these churches. There's hundreds of churches in Milwaukee today. They are good people. People don't go to church because they hate God. It's because they are seeking truth. But it doesn't matter how much truth you have. It's how much error you have that's the problem. Jesus said what? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And here's the part that I've highlighted in red that makes the difference. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. There's many people that believe in Jesus. Jesus said even the devils believe on him. But do they believe as the graphe, the written word, has said? That's what's the difference. You can believe in Jesus all you want. You can have the seed all you want. But if you don't treat it with the instructions. As a man, I don't read instructions. Confession, right? I get a box of electronics or something. All I want to do is open it and put it together. I only go to the instructions when it's not happening. I don't know about you men, but that's kind of how I operate. I open it, and then I start putting it together. And then I find out it's a little bit more tricky than I thought it was. I need to go to the word. Okay, what was that again? Why has it got so many screws? Don't ask me to open up anything and put it back together because my belief is it's got too many screws. I'll have some spares when I'm done. You see, unfortunately, it may or may not work, but that doesn't work with God. You have to read the instructions. You can't just put it aside and think, I'm going to build it my own way. That's why you have so many different variations of beliefs. Because yes, they believe in God, but not as the scripture hath said. So you can have the seed in the written word. Every church, they used to be in every hotel you used to go in, you'd open the drawer, there would be a Gideon Bible. The seed is all over the world. Why isn't there more response? Right? Because they're not doing it as the written word has said. That is the key. You can't do as I do and throw away the instructions and think you can put it together. Sometimes I'm lucky and it still works. But sometimes I have to go, okay, let me see, where did I go wrong there? You have to go back to the written word for the seed to be treated properly. Some seeds, if you overwater them, they'll die. If you don't put them in the right sunshine, you put them in shade, they die. And you have to follow the instructions. The manufacturer knows what he's doing. They have tested the assembly. When I used to work many years ago for Heathkit, they used to sell kits. And you could buy all kinds of kits, amplifiers, computers, and they came in a kit. And you better follow the instructions. It was way too complicated for you to guess. And what they used to do was to put together the instructions. They used to test the kits. The person would write the instructions, but they never sold them like that. They got 50 people to actually test the instructions to see if the instructions actually worked. And they would report on it, and they would go through a process before they would actually issue the kit. Someone has actually followed these instructions. Someone has been delivered. Someone has been healed by actually doing what the scripture hath said. But some people think, I can throw away the instructions. It's just a seed. I know how seeds work. Who doesn't know what you have to do with a seed? But that's not all there is to it. You have to plant the seed and you have to follow as the scripture hath said. So many people believe on Christ. There are hundreds of churches in Milwaukee today. And they're good people. They are trying to follow and find truth. But unfortunately, not all of them are following and believing as the scripture hath said. Then there is the preached word, the utterance, the rhema word. And we find this in what Jesus said in response to the devil when he was tempted. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word, by every utterance from God. You see, that's another form of the seed. Every utterance from God. That's what keeps us alive. Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. You know what bread is made of? Usually wheat. And wheat comes from a seed. We have to eat all of the word. I've said so many times that the word of God is not a buffet. You know, I love Chinese buffets. For those of you who don't like going to restaurants and waiting, buffets, right? You just go up there and you... you pick what you want, you get down, you eat, and you're gone. Right? I don't want to say anything about my wife, but she she doesn't like waiting at restaurants. If it's more than 20 minutes, let's go somewhere else. So she loves a buffet because you can just go in, pick what you want, eat, and be gone. But the Word of God is not a buffet. You have to eat the whole Word. You can't cut the seed in half. You know, sometimes we when we're medicating ourselves, we take the pill and we cut it in half. The doctor may have told you it's okay to take a half, but you can't take a half dose of the Word of God. You have to take all of it. When the scroll was given to Ezekiel, the angel said, you got to eat all of it. You can't take a bit here and a bit there. It doesn't work. You can't cut the seed in half. You know what you do if you cut the seed in half? It won't grow. It won't grow. Now, some kind of roots, you can take a cutting and plant them and that will grow. But it's already germinated. It's already come from being a seed. But if you have a seed and you cut it in half, the likelihood is that that seed is gone. You're not going to get anything out of it. So we have to take the rhema word, all of it. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some people's Bible would be very thin. They only like the parts that say God is love. They don't like the parts that says God hates sin. No, that's too hard. They don't want that part of the seed. But to get the growth that you need to take the whole seed. The whole seed. You know what they say in court when they put your hand? You got to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You can't tell a partial truth. They'll get you for what? Perjury. Well, you have to take the whole Word of God. Paul, when he was speaking, he said, I didn't hold back anything. I gave you all of it. I wasn't trying to make you feel good by holding back some of the Word of God. I gave you the whole thing. We need the whole rhema word for us to be able to grow and to really benefit and to be blessed. In fact, John 6:63, it says the words, and in the Greek it's the rhema, the utterance that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Sister Melissa talked about speaking life. That's a rhema utterance. We need to speak life into our dead situation. It may look hopeless, but you don't give up. You tell your Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. Come forth. That was a rhema word that Jesus uttered. He just said, and I think almost my favorite word that Jesus says is come. Come. We taught the other day about the force of Jesus, which is, what's the attractive force? Love. Love pulls us in. Sin separates. Sin is a force of separation, but love. When Jesus said, come, I just feel like running. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every rhema word be established. Everything that we speak as a Christian, the Bible said it should minister grace to the hearers. We're all guilty of that. Sometimes the words that we speak are not very graceful. That's part of the seed. You understand that. That's why we don't get the seed in our lives to grow the way we want, because we're not fulfilling all that he has commanded us. He said, teaching them to observe, and that means to obey all that I have commanded. We want the fullness of God. We want the miracles. We want the deliverance. But we are treating God's word as a buffet. I like this. I don't like that. I like this part, but I don't like that. No, it's not a Chinese buffet. We have to take the whole word of God. In Hebrews 12:18, he said, "You are not come unto a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire like in the Old Testament, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated." When they came in the Old Testament to Mount Sinai, at first they all wanted to speak with God personally. But once they saw the fire and the thunder and the lightning, they said, "We don't want that word." They didn't want that word anymore. It was too much for them. "We don't want that word anymore. It is too much for us, Moses. You go and speak to God." But today we have not come to that mountain, but we have come, the Bible goes on to say, to the church of the firstborn. We have a new covenant, a new commandment, which is love. We don't need to be separated. See, Moses was commanded to put a rope around that. No one could come past that rope because the law, the force of sin, still separated them. But today, Jesus told the woman by the well, he says, "You see, the Jews say that in Jerusalem men ought to worship, and you Samaritans say in this mountain you ought to worship, but I want to tell you something interesting now, that right here in front of you is the person who commands worship." He says, "You ask of me, if you knew who it was that was standing in front of you, I've given you the word, but you still need something else." What did he go on to say? Living water. He had given her the word, the seed, but she still needed something else for what he had planted to grow. And he said to her, "If you would ask now of me, I would now give you the last thing you need, living water. And out of your belly," right? He said, "On the last day of the feast, out of your belly will flow" what? "Rivers of living water." See, in the Old Testament, they didn't want to have that rhema word directly from God because there was so much sin. There was so much things that separated them. They could not stand it. Poor old Moses, even he had to be hidden in the cleft of the rock, which of course is who? Jesus. Paul reveals that. He says the rock that followed them was Christ. Was Christ. Amen. Then the other part of the seed, the word, is the complete sentence or thought, a whole phrase, and that's called the logos. And we see that in John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the word," the logos, the complete thought, God's whole plan. "And the word was with God, and the word was God." Amen. I'm so fortunate. I've been teaching Purpose Institute now since 2014. And at the time when I started teaching, I was the low person on the totem pole. So they always gave me the hard courses to teach, you know, and all the nice, easy ones. Brother Booker took that. So, but finally, I've moved up the totem pole now. So the last time they were going to start the semester, end of this month here, next week. So I looked at the course and I said, let me teach this one. There were two ones that I'm very familiar with. One was the tabernacle and was the oneness of God. So let me have that one. Amen. So I finally got an easy one. The oneness of God. It's easy, but yet it's a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Seen of angels at his temptation. Glorified in the spirit. Received up into heaven. Amen. See, the logos, the complete thought of God, was that he was going to redeem mankind. He, in Genesis 3:15, he told the woman, he says, "The seed of the woman is going to crush his head." That was the word, the complete thought, the plan of God. And we need that too. We need that part of the seed too, to be able to have growth. We have to have God's plan, God's complete thought. He said, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus in you. We have to be transformed because our mind is so reprehensible. My mind, not talking about you. My mind. That is the battleground. That is the battleground. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when he shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation, say this generation. I preached a message not too long ago. I guess I'm looking at my mortality. And I said, the scripture said, teach us to number our days. And I can't remember what I numbered. It was 21,000 and something days. And I reckoned I only had about, you know, according to scripture, what, 70? Now my wife is looking at me. But if by reason of strength, amen, pray for my strength, 80. But even better than that, we may be changed. Amen. I'm not really looking to leave here in a box. I'm looking to leave here going up. He says, for this generation, just this generation shall not pass. Now, they call my generation baby boomers. I was at the tail end of the baby boomers. Any baby boomers in here? All right, some of us. And I forgot what they call the next one, Gen X. And they have all these names now for them. And I don't know what the late millennials. Millennials, those people born since 2000. Amen. That tells you you're old. Amen. But the Bible says this generation. I don't know if it was Generation X, millennials. I want it to be baby boomers. Can I get an amen on that? This generation shall not pass away. But my words, his thoughts, God's plan is not going to pass away. He says, while there is summer and winter, night and day, my words are going to be there. In fact, if God's word was ever to fail, the whole universe would disappear. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. Every single thing you can see is temporary. That's why you shouldn't hold on to it. It's going to go. You buy a brand new car, the moment you drive off the lot, it's lost $2,000 or $3,000. You turn around and try and sell it back. Won't work. Everything we see is temporal, but the word of God abideth and remaineth forever. That's part of the seed that you have to have. And I haven't even gotten to the planting yet. I'm still talking about just the seed. The richness of the seed, the power, the potential is in the seed. God's words will never pass away. But to get the potential to be actual, you have to turn that into deeds. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever he do in word, that means in thoughts, or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it say whatsoever? Is that what the scripture says? That means everything, right? So when we pray in the name of, we heal the sick in the, okay, we baptize in the, okay, isn't that what the scripture says? Oh, so when we have the thought, part of the seed, it should turn into practice. You go to work, you should say, I'm going to work in the name of Jesus. What a better day we would have if we declared that over ourselves. If we put a covering of his name. I declare blessing upon myself today. Have you been watching the Olympics? You know, when the flag is raised, what do they do with their right arm? They put it over their heart. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, put your hand over your heart and declare some blessing. Plant a seed of the word of God. The graphic, you have a question? Feel free. That's why the mics are here.
So much power in the word.
Amen.
I was just hearing so much. And, you know, I was just going to say, and this is one of the reasons that I come to church. You know, I read the Bible myself alone. And then it talks about faith come by hearing. And then it has a comma. And hearing, you know, it's constantly reminding to keep hearing. And I just understand why God has made this assembly of the gatherer of the brethren, because I'm encouraged. And I was thinking about how much power there is when we speak. And there's a lady that I've been seeing in Wisconsin, and every time I see her, she's speaking the word of God out loud. She's going into the grocery store. She's saying, "Father God, I thank you for the groceries. You're going to lead me to the right sales." And I'm thinking, kind of weird, but I'm thinking to myself, this is what I need, you know. But some people may think it's embarrassing, but I've seen her about four times in the city of Wisconsin. And every time I see her, she's speaking out loud the word of God. So the word is power.
Amen. 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 You know, we may, even us, sometimes we judge that, oh man, they're just being holier than thou. You know, they're just being self. But she's probably very, very blessed person. We need to do that. We need to put our hand on ourselves and speak life. Speak blessing. Speak the word. And then we can begin to have the seed, the next step planting. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. That is, get the seed out of the box. Start planting it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So many people come to church. They're receiving the seed. It's not that the seed isn't going out. It's not that they're not getting seed. But they're not doing anything with the seed. Right? Such as you have, you got to give. Plant the seed. Keeping his word. Revelation 3:7. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. When you have God's favor, when you have his word, there's absolutely nothing Satan can do to you. He can come against you and do all kinds of things, and all they can do is like Balaam. I got to go up another hill to try and curse these people. I got to go over here and see if I can curse these people. And finally, and I'm going to give away a message title I was going to preach. I have a title that says, Message from a Donkey. Finally, he goes up on the mountain and all he can say is blessing. When you have that word in your heart, the only thing that can happen to you is God's blessing. Now, that doesn't mean you will not have tribulation, but you can still be blessed in tribulation, in giving, in what my dear sister did. You were blessed because you were able to help someone, even though you are still going through it. It's not about me. It's about him. Amen. It should never be about us, Sister Johnny. Amen.
I was just thinking on that thought about the word. This week I was at the hospital with my daughter because she was in a rage, and they put her in a room. And in the room, she was just constantly like going back and forth, saying all kinds of things. And as I was listening to her, the lady in the next room was doing the same thing. So they both was like in a rage. And the doctor had came in after she had said all kinds of things to the doctor. And the doctor just really didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so the doctor had wanted me to leave the room. So as I got ready to get up, I literally tried to get up and couldn't get up. And the doctor said, "Is something wrong with you?" She says, "I think stress has come over you." And right away, I began to speak in the room. I said, "Devil, you is a liar." I said, "Loose me in the name of Jesus." I said, "Get from me." And I finally got up. And as I got up, I tried to turn to go out the room, and I couldn't turn. I could just feel something in my shoulder and pain. Even breathing, I couldn't even hardly breathe. I could feel it that I couldn't even really just breathe straight. So I began to just speak. I said, "Devil, you is a liar." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you." In the room, and they was like looking like, "Is she crazy? Do we need to put her in a room?" And as I continued to speak and continued to speak, I can feel it like loosen up. But I tell you, I had to speak all night. I spoke to myself all night about this thing that had come over me. And when I woke up the next morning, I called Sister Janice. I said, pray for me. I said, because the devil has come to try to take me. And I said, I bind him in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I spoke all night long to that devil until he loosed me.
Amen. Amen. That's what we are have to do sometimes. As I preached last week, are you a civilian or are you a soldier? As I said, if you're a civilian, you're surprised when stuff happens. But if you're a soldier, you're looking around. You got your weapon ready. You're not surprised if the devil attacks you because you've got your weapon. And we need to wake up, church, that we are not supposed to be civilians. We're in a war. But we know the end. I've read the back of the book. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. What a beautiful statement. Can there be anything more powerful for God to say to you? Listen, I love you. I love the fact that you have tried. I love the fact that you have not forsaken me. You've had a little strength. A little strength. And because of that, I'm going to place before you an open door. And when I open the door, no devil can shut it. No man can close it. And when I shut a door for protection, nobody's going to open it. That's the result of planting the seed, the logos, the thought. That's what happens when you just take it off the shelf and do something with it. He said, thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my name. In other words, you haven't been denying the name. When we go out there and we don't tell anyone about Jesus, you know what we're doing? We are denying his name. We need to be like the Philadelphian church. We're not afraid to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he can fill someone with the Holy Spirit. I believe that we can speak in heavenly languages. They'll think you're crazy. They'll think you're crazy. They'll give you a look. But when you have passed that barrier, you'll be like the Philadelphian church. You have taken the seed and done something with it. And he says, I'm going to set before you an open door. Every time I go to work, I laugh. Because... And I know this sounds bad, but if I was my manager, I'd probably fire me. But luckily, my manager is not my manager. I hardly see him. I see him once a week because they moved him. He's still my manager, but he's been moved clear over the building, so he doesn't really know what I'm doing. I'll tell you what God did. He moved him to a completely different place. He came the other day and said, are you okay here all by yourself? I said, I'm fine. I'm fine. Do you want to move over by me? He says, no, it's okay. I'm comfortable. Once a month we have a one-on-one. So I said, I always tell him I'm fat, dumb, and happy. I know, I shouldn't say that. So I said, well, so he says, I said, have you been getting any feedback? He says, oh, just good things. And I just have to thank God. Because, you know... And I know this is going over the internet. I hope he doesn't hear it. My goal is not my earthly job. You know, that's just to put food on the table, and it means that God has blessed me with that job. But that's not where I'm invested. And I just give God the glory because He just keeps doing magic for us. Magic's a bad word, but the Spirit is moving. To take the little I do and multiply it and make it look good, you know. So I'm not boasting, but he came to me and he said, the person who I am working for most of the time, he said, yeah, I went into their meeting, and the moment they saw me, they said, are you going to take Mike off this project? Because they wanted me to stay. So I said, well, thank you, Jesus. He said, I shouldn't tell you that, but when I came into the meeting, the first thing they asked me, please don't take Mike away from this project. So he took that as meaning they were happy with me. And I'm telling you, it's just the glory of God. If you will just have a little strength, he will place before you an open door. An open door. Satan cannot close it. And he will close the doors where there could be trouble. And no man can open it. And the reason is because thou hast kept my logos, the thought, the word. If we will plant the seed, then we will be able to speak life. We'll be able to speak to our mountain. The last part of the seed I'm going to talk about is the noun. And it's got my favorite noun of the word in here, and that's come. Of course, you know the story of Jesus walking on the water. And when I was 15 years old, that was my first message I was asked to preach in a youth service. And this was the message I preached about Jesus being in your ship. Even if you're in a storm, even if the winds are there, as long as he's in the ship, you're okay. And the thing that came to me about this was just this one word, and I know I've said it so many times, and in my heart I believe this is the word that I'm walking on, come, come. No matter what situation you are, look at all the people that Jesus said come to, a harlot, a tax collector, some fishermen. He said, come, come. That's the word, the seed. And then they took the seed of come and planted. He said, if you come unto me, I will make you more than fishers of fish. I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says, and this is amazing, straightway they left their nets. Straightway. They didn't, well, let me think about this. They took the seed and followed. That's what God is calling us to do. As long as you know who's telling you to come, as long as you know where that word is coming from, as long as you're sure who the word is coming from, take the seed. Take the seed. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. God can make you walk on water. That's not hard for him. But you have to be looking unto him. There is a part for us to play for the seed to become effective. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the mess, on all the things that can go wrong, on the wind and the waves. The Bible says as long as he was keeping his eyes on the word, he was walking. But then, of course, as I've taught before, the tree knowledge came in. The five senses came in and say, hey, wait a minute, this is impossible. You can't do this. The devil will come to you and say, it's impossible. Look at your circumstance. Look at the mess here, and it's impossible. God cannot let you walk on water. And the moment he took his eyes off of the word, the seed, that's when he started to sink. And that's what happens to us. We take our eyes off of the word, the seed, and then we begin to sink. Luckily, Jesus was there and just pulled him back up. He's pulled me back up so many times. He's pulled you up so many times. So far, all I've talked about is the seed. There's two other elements. I'm going to try and finish this today. Now, the seed is very, very important. But as I've said so many times, if the seed isn't put where? In the ground, in the soil, it just remains the seed, full of potential, full of promise, but no harvest. What is the ground? Okay? We are, but can you be more specific? She was close. Our hearts, our mind. The seed, the word, has got to get into your mind. That's the ground. That's the planting. That's the earth. Unless you get the seed completely in your ground, in your earth, there's no chance. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation, what you're thinking about, be acceptable in thy sight. You have to clear the ground. Your meditation, what you think about, is the rocks, the weeds. If you come with the rocks and the weeds, the seed is just going to bounce right off. You have to say, I am coming to church today. I need something. I am going to forget about all the mess. I'm going to clear the ground. I'm going to rake the soil. I'm going to make sure that I can hear a word, and I'm going to meditate on that word. That is planting the seed. That is actually now the next step. The seed, the word of God, is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. But Jesus told the parable for a reason. Even though the sower was him, even though the seed was the most powerful thing out, a lot of it had no effect. Isn't that amazing? A lot of it had no effect. Why? Because the ground had not been made good. That's our part of this equation. Can you put down out of your mind all the things that are distressing you this week and take some time to make sure you have a little corner of good ground where you can focus and say, Lord, I'm going to meditate upon you this day. I'm going to take the graphe, the written word. I'm going to get a scripture and plant it in my mind. I'm going to just keep repeating it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. When you take that seed and plant it in that soil, then it starts to have the power to change lives, to first change your life. But, you know, we go through the whole thing sometimes, and all we're thinking about is, how am I going to deal with this situation? How am I going to deal with... And, you know, the thing is, we can't deal with it anyway, Sister Pam. We have no ability. The Bible says you can't make by thinking yourself any taller.
I just want to say that because we are made of dirt and the seed plants in us, that's what fertilizes the seed. But also when we love others, when we're gentle and kind and merciful and loving to others, we till up their hearts and make their hearts ready to receive the word. So we're tilling up their hearts to receive the word of God to be planted within them to change them.
Amen. Amen. We have been given so that we may give. Amen. That's what we're called to do. So what I'm trying to tell you is the ground is your mind, your heart. You are responsible to clear the rocks. God will provide the seed, but you have to make the ground ready. You can come to church and hear the most powerful message, but if you've come determined not to be moved, and you've come determined, okay, let him wow me, you're in the wrong church. I'm not that great a preacher. I'm not one to be theatrical. If the word will not move you, I won't. I can't move you. I'm not up here to do a show. I'm not knocking those preachers who are theatrical and can jump around. But if the words that I speak, the Bible says they are spirit and they are life. But the responsibility for getting into earth and making sure the ground is good is not mine. It's not God's, it's ours. We have to clear out the weeds and the rocks. Paul explained this in Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ and Lord. He understood. So then with the mind, he was going to say, I'm going to make sure that with my mind, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to make sure I can't do so much about all my actions. Sometimes we just react. Sometimes, you know, as I've showed before, the doctor will tap us on the knee and we'll kick. This flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But he says, with my mind, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to purify my mind. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you today. Lord, I'm going to bless your name today. I'm going to give you the glory. He said, so with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now, in my flesh, no good thing dwelleth. We're still in this flesh. We're still going to react. But we should have no premeditated thoughts. There was no sin offering in the Old Testament for premeditated sin. It was for unintentional sin. So when we plan to do things, we're in danger. You know, as I said before, if you go down to the gun store, you buy the gun and start tracking the person, that's not a crime of passion. That's premeditation. Now, you're in a fight, you hit someone, they fall, they hit their head, you know, and they pass away. That you didn't possibly mean to kill them. You might get some mercy there. But God is telling us that we should have our ground, our mind, our heart purified so that the seed, his word, whether written, spoken, or the logos, can be effective. Paul said, so with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's how we can be perfect. We can be perfect in our intents. We should always say, I'm going to be the best I can be today. I'm going to be the greatest soul winner I can be today. I'm going to be the greatest Jonah I can be today. If we started out with that intent, what would God do? He would throw open the door. He would lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, the battleground is the mind. I wanted to put this up. It says, your body can stand almost anything. It's your mind you have to convince. Think about it. It's your mind you have to convince. They say that women have a much greater pain tolerance than men. I've never had a baby, so I'll have to bow down to that thought. Aren't you glad you can't have babies? I got an amen from over there. But I've been at the birth of all my kids, and of course it's such a miracle what God can do and how that whole thing happens and the body moves and the muscles moves and all of that. That's just amazing. And they say that women have a much greater pain tolerance than men. See, so I guess that must be true. Your body can stand almost anything. It's your mind you have to convince. It's your mind you have to convince. So how do we clear the ground? We've said that the mind and the heart is the ground. How do you clear the ground? What's your rake? Maybe there's many. How do you clear the ground? Prayer. Prayer. Jesus in Matthew 6, his disciples asked him, teach us to pray. And the Lord's Prayer is very short, really, isn't it? But yet we know in many other scriptures it said that Jesus left them alone and went up in a mountain all night to pray. So there must be a reason for extended prayer, or else Jesus wouldn't have had to go up in the mountain and pray all night. And there are prayers that we pray, not because we're asking God for anything, but we need to prepare the ground. We need to meditate. We need to get our thoughts on God. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means we can't fight Satan with our fists, with guns. We have to have spiritual weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here it is, casting down what? That's how you start to clear the ground. The imaginations, your thoughts. You have to rebuke your thoughts quite a bit. I mean, I have to. It's so easy. Look at someone and all kinds of thoughts, negative thoughts, or you may judge someone or say, man, and you have to catch yourself and you have to rebuke that thought. You can't entertain that thought because what you're doing is you're putting rocks in your ground. So next time you get the seed, it's not going to be planted. I got to hurry. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. This is how you clear the ground. Now, by prayer, I don't mean you have to necessarily be on your knees by your bed. I pray on my way to work, sometimes at my desk. I had to pray this morning. Someone came in here this morning and was wanting to do something, start a commotion, and I let them speak. But while I was praying, while they were speaking, I just said, Lord, give me wisdom, because I know I'm going to say something now. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me the right words to handle this so that I just remain calm and handle this the right way. You don't have to be at your bedside to pray. It's good sometimes to be alone so you don't have no distractions. But that's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. I was able in that time while they were speaking to just call on the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, let me handle this the right way. Give me wisdom now. Open my mouth. Let me say the right thing so that I could handle this in the right way. I pray in my car to work. I pray at my desk. And by prayer, I don't mean I'm doing this and closing my eyes. I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. Most of the time, I'm just thanking him. I just thank him. I sit at my desk and say, Lord, why do you do this for me? I just give him thanks. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm saying there's ways to pray, to be in communion. And praise is the greatest way. I try to prepare my ground so that he can plant a seed and a word that will give a fruit, a blessing. I'm trying to hurry. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Thy thoughts, that means give him some time. Give him some time, and your thoughts will be established. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and their righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's the battleground is for the soil. The seed is got all the power, all the potential. But we have to make sure that we have got the soil ready so that the word can be spoken and bring forth a harvest. I'm trying to hurry. The last part is, after all of that, you need the water, don't you? The last part of the three elements is the water. We have the seed, and we know that what that is. God told us it's the word of God. The soil, we can understand from how the scriptures talk that it is our mind, our heart that we have to prepare. But the last part for the real explosion of growth is we need the water. 1 John 5:8, and these are three that bear witness in the earth. You know it says in the earth. Why? Because they are the water to provide the growth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. You know, sometimes before you plant stuff, you have to clean them off so that there's not a shell of wax to stop the nutrients reaching that. And we need a washing, the water. We need a cleansing by the blood. And we need the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that are collectively the water. The Bible says that these three bear witness in the earth, in the ground. It's what will complete the germination of the word of God in your heart. But what saith it? I go back to the first scripture I read. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith. When you put all of that together and then you put the word of faith behind it, then you're going to reap a harvest. I'm not going to probably finish all the slides today. You'll have to go online and get them. So I'm going to just rush through. Now, I go back to Genesis, and I want to show you something here interesting. Remember I said that there were seven creative words that God spoke? Create, right? And then the second one was plant. Now, he did not speak the garden into existence. And there must have been a reason. He spoke everything else, but the Bible used a different word, and it says he planted. Now look at this. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now, it doesn't say what he planted, but we know that what you plant to get a garden is a seed. And what you're going to see in Genesis is you have all the elements for the harvest. Because in Genesis 2:6, it says, but there went up a mist. A mist. And what did the mist do? Watered. I'm reminded of the children of Israel when they came up to the Red Sea and when they came up to Jordan, right? They went down into the water, and above them was what? And what is a cloud other than a mist? Do you see the elements here for the seed to grow? But there went up a mist from the earth, from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. Here in Genesis, you have a picture, an element of what it is to get the seed to be planted and for your blessing to come forth. If you could stand with me, I hope that you will take some of these principles, the seed, the ground, and the water. And this week you will get your spiritual rake, prayer, and meditation. And you will start planting the word of God. Get a scripture, the grapha, the written word. Get a thought. Get a word that's a noun. Come. And let the Spirit marinate all of that. And I absolutely declare and guarantee you'll reap a harvest. You'll reap a harvest. I'm going to skip this because I really want to go to the end. I was going to cover some other things. But here's the end of the matter. An other fell on good ground. Someone had come with their ground prepared and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now that doesn't sound so much 30, but you go to the bank today and you think how much you're going to get. Anyone went to the bank and saw what the interest rate is? 2%, maybe. God's bank starts out 15 times as much. Some 30. That's the lowest return. The lowest. If you were getting 30% on your money, you'd be jumping up and down. But this is not 30% on money. This is 30% on God's word and God's blessing and God's life. That's the lowest return if you will prepare the ground. This week we need to start to speak to our mountain. We need to take that seed which has all the power, plant it in our soul, in our mind, in our heart. Let the Spirit water us. Let God's blessing and blood cover us. And we will reap, it says, did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I think God is telling us today, just as he told the Philadelphian church, if you just have a little strength, just a little strength, just a little strength. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you're going to waltz in and everything's going to be a red carpet. Just have a little strength. Try and do just a little of what the word is saying today. And I guarantee you, the seed is powerful. The seed will do its work. You just need to make sure the ground is ready. And then to pour out the blessing of the water. Jesus said to the woman, if you knew who was standing here, you would ask of me. I've given you the word. I've told you some things. Now ask of me and let me make this reap a harvest. I think she listened. She ran home. Said, come see a man. See what she did? She started to give. She went and told the whole village, come see a man who told me ever. He gave me a word and I believe him. Come and this is it. If we got that excited about the word received from God, I believe he would say, listen, you have not denied my name. You have had a little strength. I place before you an open door. An open door. An open door. Think about that. I'm trying to close. But I so much want this to reach me first. And then you. I want to meditate upon this. Because God is speaking through his word to me too. I'm guilty so much times I put in a lot of rocks and weeds in front of God's seed. And that's why we all as a church sometimes do not get the breakthrough that God would like. If you could bow your heads with me, Lord, we just thank you today for your anointed word, for your seed that has the power.